Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we can keep in touch.
That's right, folks. We got new
like
microphones.
In the old days, it wasn't so long ago. And I wish you well. Sign your pen pals.
Folks, you are seeing it. If you're hearing it, this is Wednesday. You're hearing it. Well, the baritones, the higher notes, there's a crisper, more syrupy, voluminous luxury. There's more.
There's some velvet on the cush.
When Daniel and I started this show, we said our idea for a good show is audio luxury. And we said within 4 years, we will do it. Folks, this is our first episode where Daniel and I have hit audio luxury that we own. Obviously, when we were at Starburns, they had an intense studio.
Very.
It was insane.
Right. It had one of those windows.
They had a window where you could look at the other person and you could scream, there's a murderer behind you, but it didn't matter because they couldn't hear you.
Right. When they got to do that thing where they'd push the button and be like, yeah, no, you guys are good, and then take the button off.
Yeah.
Which is such a thing of my youth of watching in movies.
That you think
and
is the
TV
thing.
Shows.
Yeah.
Let's get that one more time, guys.
Yeah. And there was a thick door that was like, what, four doors thick?
Yeah.
That if you had to come through it, it was like going into a vault.
We've had so many incarnations of where we've recorded.
We've been in Lissa's apartment, invading her personal
life and
space.
We've been in our own homes.
We've been in our own homes on Zoom, which, you know, that's probably the roughest the sound is ever going to be in the history of this show.
And I think we were still okay. I think we were better than
we still did okay. We still did okay.
Comparison, but I think we did our best.
We survived.
We could do.
We survived. But folks, we are here now, and if it's Friday and you're watching this, you can see. Look at these fucking things. Huh? Stepping it up.
I know.
We're in a constant state of stepping it up, and just so you guys know, you're a big part of that. You are a huge part of the support. The reason we are able to be in a studio now, you don't know what this space is going to become. You don't fucking know.
Beautiful.
We do, but you don't know. This is going to become a different space. The equipment's getting better. The space is getting more professional, and it's because of your support. So we want to say thank you so much. This is one more step towards a better show.
Speaking of,
here we go.
We don't do this a lot, and I think like if they were to write a podcast handbook, they'd be like, hey, you better tell people, rate, review, subscribe,
right?
Which is such a, like, it feels like a trope, like a hack trope, but
it truly works.
Pen pals don't realize how much it matters.
It truly matters. So let's go to the reviews.
Okay, you want
to
hear a couple?
I do want to hear a couple.
All right, ready?
Rate, review, subscribe, it matters.
Okay, I grabbed two at random, but I didn't do this on purpose. This is the headline, from New Mom 1207.
Yeah.
Do you have to change that in 10 years when you're not a new mom?
To 1208. Psycho.
No.
I get it.
You got me. If you like Ted Lasso, you'll love Pen Pals. This isn't clickbait. It's my real true opinion. This podcast contains heartfelt wisdom and insight into life, men showing and exploring their sensitive sides. Bullshit. Hilarious jokes, lots of swearing.
Do we swear a lot? I probably do.
Bullshit. And even plenty,
in a row.
And even plenty of inappropriate sexual humor. There's plenty of it.
Yeah.
It's day brightening and thought proving?
Thought proving. Yeah.
I just love it.
It proves thoughts.
I've been a fan of DVK since way back in the doing lines with Mark days on Douglas movies, and he's my favorite part of Dumb People Town, and he really shines in this podcast through the wonderful counterpoint of Rory.
Yes.
You cackling idiots make magic every week. Thank you. And then I wanted to read one more from Rising Pallor, which makes me think you can put in whatever name you want. You don't have to stick to it.
I would love that someone decided to permanently have that be their AOL messenger name.
It says they gave you 2 clearances, which is a reference, I guess, to a podcast. I don't remember that we did.
They gave you 2 clearances.
I had top-level national security
clearance. That's probably what it is.
But the two of us, what did you
have a clearance? I didn't have a clearance.
Huge fan of this podcast. My brother helped hashtag...
Wait, was it a question mark? They gave you 2 clearances?
2 question marks.
I agree with that. I agree that someone would be skeptical of us being privy to any important information.
We had known each other when I was a federal agent.
Ugh, I think about it every day.
Because we would have, between the two of us, we would have had my federal badge. You know how many cases we could have solved?
You know that no one has ever said the sentence, I wish we knew each other when I was a federal agent.
Why?
It's just a funny sentence. God, I wish we would have known each other when I was a federal agent.
Oh, man, we would have been great. We would have been a great pair.
Yeah.
I would have gotten you a job with me there. Could you imagine the two of us?
That's what we'd be doing now. We wouldn't be doing this.
You think we would have stuck with it?
Yes.
That's what a lot of people did in the agency I was in. They used that to get into the CIA
That's
or
what
the
we
FBI.
Would be doing.
Huge fan of this podcast. My brother helped #grow the show by sending it out to our family when his letter buffets was read a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Remember the guy who put ice cream on a hot plate?
Yes.
I've been listening nonstop ever since. Hope you make your way back to DC soon so we can go #face-to-face, #DanielVanielCaniel, #RoryMoryScory. Rory, this reminds me.
Maury Scory.
I did a show and I was leaving and a person who had been at the show was walking by and they're like, Daniel. And I go, I literally go, okay, well, thank you for listening to the show. That was how they greeted me. That was their opening.
Yeah.
Was not like.
And that's right.
Daniel Van Kirk, nice to meet you. It was like, Daniel Canyon.
Yeah, get to it.
You did that.
Get right to the meat.
I know, but I did. It was a great way
for
them to signify.
Yeah.
You know me, I know you.
Right.
I'm a pen pal.
Right.
And that, and instantly I was, we really did skip the nice to meet you. It was more
the
of like,
BS.
Okay, thanks for listening
the
to the
BS
show.
Of it all. You get right
great.
To it.
It was great.
Well, there it is, folks. Those are the reviews. That's and the reason we want to bring that up is because today is Wednesday, March 9th.
Whoa.
And this is our second episode. Daniel and myself and Lissa on the keys, the ones and twos, having gone independent as a show. And so you guys letting people know about this show
growing it, baby.
Helps it grow it. I hope that all of you know, like members of the Patreon or people who just listen to the show that tell other people.
Sure.
Daniel and I are not sitting here with better microphones and cameras to actually do video and a studio space without you guys investing in the show. And we hope that you guys can hear it and see it, that Daniel and I aren't taking this money and running off to the fucking Bahamas. We're taking
this money,
and we're putting it right back into trying to give you guys a better product. So thank you for being on the team and helping us out. It's your podcast. We just talk about it.
Hey, can we do a live show of the Bahamas someday?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Could you imagine?
No one's there. It's just us.
It's
just us and like Adam Duritz from Counting Crows, but he'd rather be in the audience than be a guest.
You want to go?
Let's go to the letters!
Dear P-Pals.
It's
a different show.
Being
that
able to read it.
Different show.
Being able to read it and know that it's just a P and not an E-E, you don't, you know, but to hear it.
Right.
To hear you say it, I was like, yeah.
P-Pals won an AVN last year.
Oh.
Okay. I am writing today with a story of car trouble. I started noticing a smell like burnt toast anytime my car's engine ran longer than a few minutes. I have no car expertise, so I took it to a garage for inspection. After 3 hours, they called to say that they couldn't find the issue or get the car to produce the smell of burnt toast. Determined to find the issue, I brought the car to another garage, and after 15 minutes, they called to let me know they found the source of the smell, a single slice of bread in the engine, stashed by a squirrel in preparation for winter. This happened a year ago, and my four-year-old still thinks bread in the engine is a common reason for a car to break down. Do you have any stories of pests? I know someone whose van was totaled because squirrels filled the engine with nuts and seeds. Thanks for reading, Cam. Okay.
Man.
Do you have
Yeah, here's my first thought.
You have pests? Okay, do your thought.
You're
your
going
thought.
To that first garage and they didn't find the bread?
Right. Did they even look?
The other place within 15 minutes. The first place, 3 hours, no results. The other place, 15 minutes, like, well, yeah, there's bread on the engine. So the heat source hits the bread. Naturally, it smells like toast, probably put there by a squirrel. The other place, 3 hours, we can't find anything.
Right.
We can't find a thing.
Here's the thing. You and I have worked jobs that had nothing to do with what we wanted to do with our life. So I think, if anything, we're like each other a lot. We were probably not good at them.
Right. Yeah. People think... I was just a secretary. It wasn't like, you know, I was decent.
People think you take your car to the mechanic, they work on it.
Yeah.
Why do you think that? Why do you think just like any other job where somebody goes, hey, did you do all those reports today? The person goes, no.
No.
Like, hey, did you
start... And I knew I wouldn't.
Did you start working on that car yet? No.
No. Just send it
back. Well, you're a bad employee. I guess so.
Yeah.
Like, nobody has this frank of a
conversation.
Well,
I'm Ted, and it's Ted's garage. So I guess I'll reprimand myself.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
So the thing is I thoroughly believe that it's entirely possible the first car, like, they just were like, hey, did you do anything with that person's car? Well, no. Well, we got all these other cars to work on.
Yeah.
Well, can you just call them and say we couldn't recreate, we didn't know what it was?
We don't know.
Like, so at least we can get that car out of here. I guess.
Yeah, call him and just say we couldn't figure it out.
Right. It's all a ruse.
Does Cam call the first place back and go, hey, I've already picked up the car, blah, blah, blah. I just want to let you know, I took it to another place, and within 15 minutes, they told me it was because there was a slice of bread on... a single slice of bread in the engine. So now, I don't know where in the engine, but I do know the first place was not willing to check the engine.
Also... if it's in the engine, I'm thinking all you had to do was turn the car on and eventually you'd start smelling.
I don't think they turned the car on.
Dude, this is what, when I saw this letter,
right?
When I saw this letter, I recently took my car to a Pep Boys, right?
Yeah.
And there's so many of them, and so many of them are great. I don't mind saying it because this is just my experience at this location, and I'm not naming the location. I took my car there.
Garbage.
It is in Garbage, California. I took my car there a half hour earlier than my appointment.
Oh,
right?
No.
I knew I was early, so I knew that. I wasn't planning on anything good. It's like when you show up at a hotel at like noon and be like, can I
and
get
you
my
know,
room?
And you know you can't.
Be okay with they go, no, you,
you know you can't.
You. So I show up
also
early.
At a hotel on like a, you know, because we're often flying into cities
early
on a Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when they go, your room's not ready. You go, none of them in the whole hotel.
Right.
What happens here in Tucson on a Wednesday?
I know.
What is going on
Wednesday?
You guys had
a full boat last night? You had a full boat,
last night. Wednesday.
Full boat.
And they're just like, mm-hmm. Like, you know there's a room.
I know.
I just want to sleep.
I know. So, God. So I left my car there. It was like 2.5 hours later. They said it'd be done in an hour, right? So yeah. I come back like 2.5 hours later. My car hasn't moved.
Yeah.
It's in the same parking spot where I left it.
Yeah.
There's also none of that white paper where the floorboard is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That tells you someone's been in your car.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, was my oil changed? Did anyone do anything to my car other than reset the alert, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I needed washer fluid. And I asked the guy, I go, you guys checked all the fluids, everything? Oh, yeah, for sure. The next day, alert goes off, you need washer fluid. And I'm like, I just... brought it in.
Yeah, yeah.
So a couple days later, it's been now it's been 3-4 days. I go back into the place. I go, hey, I was here a couple days ago, and you guys said you did all my stuff, and it was weird. There was no paper in my car, but the alert was reset. But then it was saying I still needed washer fluid, and I asked you if we checked the fluids. And the woman goes, oh, well, we don't check every fluid in your car. And I go, oh, okay. Well, I asked about it. Specifically about the washer fluid, and the guy said he did it. And she's like, well, we don't do all of them. I go, is washer fluid one of them you do? Uh-huh. And I go, oh, so that would check out, that that one should have been done? And she goes, yeah. And I go, well, it said it wasn't. And she goes, we might have been out that day. And I go, what do you mean? She's like, we might have been out of washer fluid, so we couldn't put more in.
And you thought lying about it
and
was
I go,
better.
And I go, oh, but when I asked the guy if he did it, he said he did.
Yeah.
But you're telling me, first you're telling me we don't do that. Then you're telling me we do do that. Then you're saying maybe we were out. And then she goes, if you want, you can pull it in right now. We'll put washer fluid in for you. And I go, no. No. Because one, I can do it myself.
Yeah, you got to go, this interaction? There's
and
no
there was no point in me like fighting or yelling or anything like that. Yeah. But I left going, well, I'm just never bringing my car here again because I have no idea
if they're doing anything.
If they're doing anything.
Right.
Because how would I know?
Yeah.
I mean, I do know, just like your wife, I do know how to change my oil.
I do not.
And I can, you can, I guess, surmise whether or not there's old oil in there. Sometimes you can tell.
Sure. Well, yeah, you can with the dipstick.
Right. And so I'm like, I just... You've lost my trust.
Yeah.
There was too many things where I was like, did anyone do anything on this car other than just reset it?
Yeah.
Because you guys are thinking, odds are he's fine for another 5,000 miles, even though he should change
because
it.
Because you don't, because I don't think you need to change your oil as often as you
and
do.
And even if he, even maybe if something goes wrong, this idiot, Daniel Van Kirk's gonna bring it back to us to fix anyway.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Double the money.
Right.
Yeah.
Ugh. I know.
I hate it. I hate that culture.
Because you don't know.
Just good, honest
the people. That were,
people
and there was a different crew that used
so
to be there.
Much.
Pep Boys, I don't know what happened to all them. They were great guys. His name was Bob. I liked him a lot.
Oh, I miss Bob.
Well, I mean, you're in my heart already with
Peppy.
The name Bob. Okay.
Peppy boy.
So, have you ever dealt with any pests? Do you guys have pests at your house?
I mean, we got, through our property, we got raccoons that I'm pretty sure swim in the pool, get in the hot tub at night. I'm pretty sure they live it up. You know, raccoons have no, like, natural predator. Like, no one, and there's no animals that are trying to, like, kill raccoons. To my knowledge, we, like, looked into it. Like, because raccoons.
A coyote ain't fucking with a raccoon?
I don't think so. I don't think there's,
raccoon,
like,
there's
taste to it. I don't know what it is. But raccoons, that's why you see raccoons so brazen. Because I think psychologically, they aren't thinking that they have to worry about something. It almost shocks them when
something happens. I
can tell
you such a
sad
raccoon story.
Oh, yeah?
Do you think you can handle it? I mean, I know how I feel about
sad
animals.
Is it Zach Martina?
Stuff. No.
Is it Zach Martina's raccoon story?
No. Is it sad too? I don't know if I can handle it. I only know mine.
Zach Martina's a murderer. I know that much.
He killed a raccoon?
He killed
a
a family of raccoons.
Not on purpose. It was he hit him with his car, right?
No.
I don't want to hear this.
Zach Martina. I just
don't.
And I actually,
we'll get the worst kind of letters.
I actually really hope this can become a clip. Zach Martina
don't.
Kills raccoons.
Don't.
And he's a murderer.
I really like Zach. He opened for me in Cleveland.
Well, now you decide if you like him. Because Zach Martina is a murderer who kills raccoons.
You're joking around, and I'm getting emotional. I don't like this.
I am joking with jokey delivery about a real thing that happened. Because Zach Martina is a murderer who kills raccoons.
I really don't like this.
I think he talks about it on stage.
That's disgusting.
Zach Martina's gross.
Is it?
Nothing makes me happier than a full episode dedicated to just going after Zach Martin. Our audience is like, we don't know who the fuck you're talking
about. Yeah, but they're
going
to go after him.
Google
him.
Pallers,
don't
Google
fuck
him.
Around.
Buy his album. We always start trying to help him out.
Yeah, because he's going to get
look,
some
he's
mentions.
Got kids. He's got his family. Like, you buy his albums. But just remember, he's a raccoon murderer.
Don't. It bothers me.
I'm trying to not, but it's so hard.
I don't
it's
know
so
that you're trying to not.
I'm not making the breath.
I don't know that you're trying to
ever.
Not.
I am. I'm at a 1% of trying to stop.
Wait, do you want to hear my sad thing?
Yeah. Well, why do you get to have a sad thing?
Yours is violent.
Yeah.
I mean, mine is
mine's
too.
Dark.
So is mine.
It's not really mine. It's Zach's.
Did you know that raccoons are so family oriented that if one of them... If one of them gets hit by a car,
yeah,
the other ones will go to that one that's hit in the road and try to like get it to keep like get back
live,
up
being alive.
Yeah, because they don't want to leave it, and then a lot of times
they get hit.
Yeah, and now
that's way different than
that is
Zach
so
Martina's
sad to me, but
story.
Also beautiful.
Who murders raccoons?
Don't. But did you know that?
I didn't know that.
They're just family-oriented little trash can eaters.
Yeah. I don't know that they're, like, great, you know.
Raccoons?
I think you're... Yeah, I mean, they will claw your child to death if they're feels threatened.
Well, wouldn't most animals? Wouldn't
yeah. And that's why we try. That's why we try to kill almost all of the animals
wouldn't
we can find.
Wouldn't you claw something to death if it was threatening your child?
Depends.
Which I know isn't a one-to-one. You said I'm just saying we all have the ability in us to claw something
yeah.
to death.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If yeah. the right scenario, it's just some of us have, no pun intended for animals, a shorter leash than others.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so you have raccoons that you think are literally having
I think
the
at night,
Schmitz gay commercial in your backyard so. Every single
skunks.
Night.
We got some skunks.
You do?
Scott will be in the garage doing stuff, and he'll see some like a skunk go by. I think we're like, because we have a very like
well, you're
foliage
next to the hill.
Heavy
and,
yard.
Yes. You guys got you got to have coyotes.
I think we're.
I have coyotes on my street.
We for sure have coyotes. I think we're just like a little pass through. For
you guys are
yeah, I think
you're
we're a little pass through.
For,
I think
for
we are.
Wilderness?
I think we're a trail. I think we're on a trail that we're unaware of.
Wait,
that's kind of great.
What about possums?
For sure. Yeah,
you've seen them.
Yeah. Yes. Possums we probably have the most of. That's probably what comes through the most. Wow. We've thought about. We've had so much. Because Scott's in the garage at night, like, doing stuff.
Yeah.
So he sees them just walk through, like, the little mid-yard going out
have
to go
seen,
over the fence.
Have you seen the video of, Lissa will remember, you? Is it a badger? It's a coyote and a badger, and they're friends. And the coyote, it's like a trail cam on, like a one of those big sewer tunnels where, like, Pennywise plays and the kids do, like, in it, like one of those.
Yeah.
And it's like a trail cam, and a coyote comes down, like, right to left into frame and gets in front of this, like, tunnel, right? And, like, stops and, like, waits. And you can see it, like, wait for somebody. And then this little portly little... ruddy little guy, little badger, he comes down, and then they walk side by side down the tunnel together.
Oh,
like
I have seen that.
Like,
I've seen that.
They're
yeah,
like
yeah,
nighttime
yeah.
friends.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so
but
wonderful.
The coyote is, like, playfully like, come on.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, guy.
Yeah, we're going. This is our thing. We're supposed to do our thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're supposed to go play poker.
Yeah.
We're going to be late.
And he's like, the coyote's energy is so playful. It's fun to see.
Yeah, and then the little guy.
I know that coyotes, it's like, hey, watch out for coyotes. I genuinely feel bad for the species of coyote because it's like the
remember during the crime lockdown when they like showed up everywhere because it's like wait we get this back that I don't want to get sad about that but that was like one of the most amazing things
eye-opening.
During one of the most trying times for us as a people
eye-opening that animals were like oh
the whales that all started showing up and like all these places because like well there's no boats out here like scaring the shit out of us we're back baby
right yeah
I remember Scott posted a video of a coyote because nobody was in like Los Feliz, nobody was like around.
Just living it up.
And he was like, this dude's just cutting through. Cause he's like, oh, you fuckers are out of the way finally?
There's coyotes we see up and down the street all the time. And I see them on golf courses all the time. But I do feel bad for them. They're not domesticated. They're not going to be. And they're in a position of like, you know, like, oh, watch out. They'll kill your pets.
Dog,
it's like, they're, I mean, I'm not, it's not a great thing, but they're fucking hungry.
That's what I think too. It's like, so we're like, these coyotes, they'll get your dog. I'm like, what do you think they're
supposed to
do?
Watch out, coyotes are going to get your dog. It's like, well, you know what I did is I had a cow fucking murdered so I could have a steak. So it's not like I live in a position of going, why am I a little bit better than the coyote that ate a toy poodle? You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. It's like, but I just feel bad for them because like there isn't an option. The only option is, you're out there in the wild, and you got to find what you can get.
Right.
And sometimes coyotes in packs, they fucking attack people.
I kind of want
And it isn't like they're like, hey, fuck you, we hate people.
No.
They are legit just trying to stay alive like all living things are.
I kind of want you to get a little trail cam and just see who's coming through the neighborhood all the time for
you. We've talked about that. We've talked about getting a trail cam to see who just cuts through our yard.
Yeah.
So far, it's possums, raccoons, and skunks.
I saw a mountain lion once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It went up a ravine into somebody's backyard. Yeah. And I was like,
luck.
I hope the kids
are
inside.
Good luck, dude. Good luck. What's that guy yelling at?
Good luck, dude.
Good luck.
I gotta go. Mountain lion. What is that about when you yell, you don't enunciate? Not you. We all do it.
All right, man. Good luck, dude.
See you later.
It's almost too hard.
Later, everybody.
You'd have to be a Broadway singer to actually be able to pull off that level of enunciation.
I don't really have any pest stories. Can I say really quick?
Yeah.
This is well documented on my first appearance on the Crab Feast with Ryan Sickler and Jay Larson. We had a goat show up.
At the cabin?
At the cabin.
Yeah.
Gary, we called him. Gary the goat.
Of course you did. Alliteration is a big deal in your family.
And Daniel the drinker. And he, Gary would just, he just hung around us, like hung around our family.
Yeah.
Wouldn't call him a pest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just a little animal who showed up, loved jumping up on top of the hot Weber grill.
Yeah.
And standing up there on top of it.
So the hooves, really he couldn't feel it.
Is that what you think it is?
Probably. There's no nerves, I don't think, in the hooves.
Really?
I don't know. When you see a horse, when they cut the hood,
have nerves?
Great question.
I'm going to say no, too. Dude, when
I don't think
when
so.
They take a horse.
Exactly. And the horse is like, all right. Now, if they go too far, there's an issue.
Well, then you're going to do a nail. That's a nail bed area, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think goats are in the same position. I don't think, like, it's so callous of what, it's like a big callus.
Right.
Like, that I'm sure he's like, has no. Even I'm sure he actually liked it because by the time that heat hit his body, it was probably a perfect temperature of like, oh, it's kind of warm up here.
Yeah.
He has no idea that it's on fire in his
hooves. He didn't even care about the barbecue chicken.
Yeah.
He just liked the little
heat. He's like, I'm not eating that.
No.
I'm a vegetarian, though, right? Dude. I don't eat
that. You think he was? There's a children's book. Gary the Vegetarian Goat.
Is that true?
No, I'm saying. You just
no one steal that. Any new listeners, we take that stuff very seriously on this show. But if you do steal it, you know, send us what?
Kickback.
Give us some. Yeah.
What'd you say? 7%? 10%?
20% would be great. This is a great letter.
I know, I love it.
I don't have a pest. I don't have like a specific pest story. I mean, other than like the usual like wasps that I've had to kill.
You guys never had a bat issue?
No. Have you ever had to spray wasp or hornet stuff into like their nest or anything?
Oh, what happens?
Well, you know, because you need to be so far away, that when you spray it, that stream is thick and goes like a water gun out of a spray can.
Uh-huh.
And it's very unnatural because you're so used to like just a like aerosol.
Right.
Like freshener.
Right.
But it is like a stream because you have to be back so
like
far.
Like silly string?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And it's like foams up. But we've had to spray it into wasps' nests and I don't think hornets, but wasps in our yard.
Those bad, huh?
And you feel bad about it. I mean, it's awful. And you know, this is a horrible way. And also, you shouldn't be breathing in. Also, we probably shouldn't be using them.
What would be the other option?
I don't really know. I don't know. Because it wasn't like they're in a, you know, some sort of a, like the way a bee's nest.
Yeah,
they don't have like a nest where you go, oh, just cut it down and move it and have some pressure to do it. You know,
I'm surprised you never got into bees.
Anyway, you know, now I kind of feel bad that I took it so hard to Zach. I mean, I guess I'm an animal killer too. You know?
Don't say that.
All right.
You are going to get into bees. Bees are going to make a deal in your life someday.
Oh, we're big into bees. Jordan has a bee tattoo.
I know, but that
I mean, just the letter B. She loves the alphabet.
Right, of course. Yeah. She saw one episode of Sesame Street and thought that was
and
it.
And she goes, that's the letter.
That's the letter.
That's my letter.
That's my letter. No, like your own beehive.
Oh, I could see that.
I could
if
totally
we had the property,
it. Yes,
I would do it for sure.
And then you
love it.
Go on and on about honey. You give that a gifts. That'd be your gift.
And people are like, we haven't even eaten the honey you gave us.
Well, save it. It doesn't go bad.
You said that last time.
All right, Cam. Thanks so much for this letter. I love that. Literally, we've said it so many times. It's your podcast. We just talk about it, about anything, and we barely talked about food. I'm proud of us.
And I'm honestly a little shocked.
We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk.
And Rory Van Scovel. And we are back. We're back, folks. Let's get right into it.
Hey, wait, before you do.
Oh, yeah. What pluggity plugs? What do you got?
Well, I'm on tour again.
Right, not right now. You're here.
Well, I know. But beginning of April, I'm going to be in the East Coast, like Boston, New York, hopefully Philly. All those things by the time this comes out might already have been revealed.
Northeast. I'm still learning geography.
Don't worry about it. If you go far enough, you are where you said you were.
And that's
going.
What I was thinking.
Right. Yeah. Take the long way home. Super tramp. So everything's up at danielvankirk.com. Plus, I do a trivia night, which I could not be more proud of. The work that Lissa Rubin, who produces this show, put into making that like professional and fun and great. I'm plugging something that benefits me, yes, but also I'm offering you a really good time. Plus, there's bingo and a whole bunch of other stuff. That's all at danielvankirk.com, and then I'll be at Moon Tower. Rory,
Physical. Watch it. I know I say it every week, but tell people about it.
Yeah.
Season 2 is going to be out in June.
You know? Or you feel?
Pretty sure it's June.
Okay.
No specific date yet. And then, yeah, if you follow me on Instagram, that's where I've been kind of posting if I have any local shows. And right now the plan is also Moon Tower, and the plan is also a live Pen Pals at Moon Tower. So if you're looking for an excuse to get to Austin, Texas, do it that weekend of late April. I believe it's like the 21st,
22nd, 23rd.
Yeah. If you're feeling like that's a good time frame for you to get to Austin and see what's going on, come when it's going to be super crowded, filled with comedians doing shows.
Also, you know what? Right after that, guess where I'm going?
Where?
Little Run. I'm doing Savannah.
Oh, nice.
And
Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Where are you doing in Atlanta? Do you know yet?
No.
Okay.
And Asheville.
That's
I'm
fun.
Doing a little quick run around that, and then I'm going to go see My Morning Jacket.
Where?
At a festival in
Charlotte?
Atlanta. No, in Atlanta.
Raleigh.
I think it's in Atlanta.
It's probably Atlanta.
It's all that stuff at DanielVancouver.com. Hey, and if you want to send us a letter, if you don't know us by now, you will. I'm not going to sing that song.
You don't know us by now.
You will
never know us.
Care of the Pen Pals podcast, if you want to send us some snail mail, we love it. It's 5419 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite C, number 121, Los Angeles, California, 90027, or thepenpalspod@gmail.com. Rory.
Hey, you two cackling idiots. Parentheses, no bickering during my letter. That's right.
Why would
parentheses.
We?
We'll bicker if we want.
Yeah, I know, but also, we don't know that he put your name second.
Yeah, and I always identify as an idiot, so I feel like maybe I am second, and you're cackling.
Cackling an idiot?
This is Cackling an Idiot on Light Rock 93.2.
Now, you're in town this weekend doing shows.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what's going on at the club tonight.
What's a joke people are going to hear if they're coming out this weekend? What do you end the show with?
How do you get into it? How do you get started? What made you think you could do this?
Well, guess you were getting kicked out of class a lot growing up.
Yes, it's a universal story. Well, class clown. First of all, I love that you deal with difficult and somewhat taboo topics with such calm and rationality and with humor, of course. I feel like that's hard to find, not only in podcasts, but in people as well. Speaking of a taboo, diving right in, my dad committed suicide when I was 9. Mm. He had a long, difficult depression ever since I was 1, so I never had a dad who would have been present, emotionally or physically, to be honest. On top of being bipolar, manic, and narcissistic, he never aimed to be present in everyday family life either. Only memories I have of him are him chain-smoking on the sofa with glassy eyes or suddenly being forcefully playful and suggesting a trip to an amusement park, 0 or 100.
Ooh.
I feel like when people pass away, they get this halo around them. You've joked about it too. They become perfect and sacred. Often when a child loses a parent, they thrive to be like them. Or if not thrive to be like them, anything similar they notice having a like becomes valuable and treasured. Well, not for me. Something that I find ironic and funny is when people were good, their good traits are seen in their kids. Like Tim, your dad was a war hero. He was brave, and so are you. Well, I've always ran from my dad. I've always had a fear of mental health and suicide due to him. No one would say to Tim, your dad killed himself, and I'm sure you will too. Which I know is dark, but that is such a funny thing to notice, and like is so absolutely true. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's a kind of joke where you feel bad. You feel a little bit bad laughing at it, but you're like, it's pretty good observation.
Pretty odd.
Yeah. But both of those statements are equally true in a sense that you might end up like your parent or not. Nurture versus nature and all that. Poor Tim. On top of all, my dad was an author and very successful in it, and that truly was his reason to exist. Now I am 30 and working in the creative field as well. Those fears surface again and again, not only in my mental health, but also in my work. How similar am I to my father? So, what do you think about parent and child alikeness? Do apples fall from the tree, and how far? Do you have anything you fear to inherit from your parents, or do you fear your kids would inherit some negative traits of yours? All the best and love. Keep doing what you're doing. Ava. Or Eva.
Eva.
Eva, Ava, she, her. Great. Love it.
Yep.
Love the vulnerability. Love, I gotta say right out of the gate, I feel like Eva's in such a good place by just having the self-awareness and recognition of this that I almost, and again, you've heard it 40 billion times for the past 3.5, almost 4 years.
Well, we always need to
say it. We're not pros.
Right.
We don't know how to even spell science. Definitely not psychology. Is it an S?
E-S-Y-C-H?
S-Y-L. But,
is it?
No.
You could have gotten me.
But I would say, based on two people who are professionals and having to read a room and try to see what they see in something just from what's written or what someone says or how they say it, I would say my interpretation, be it right or wrong, is that you have a great opportunity to potentially avoid a similar existence or outcome based on the fact that you're fully aware of it. Mm-hmm. And to me, if you're fully aware of it, it doesn't necessarily mean this, but it could mean that you are willing to take steps to prevent it. And that means looking after your mental health. And that means looking at what are things that maybe wouldn't be great if you feel like maybe genetically you come from a place of also having potentially mental health issues. And I think, you know, even just the tone of this letter, I personally have a lot of confidence in you.
Sure.
In not saying that you're going to have a similar story as your dad. None of that's 100%. And I think why I like this letter and I think why Daniel likes it is because it raises a great question for a lot of people, not even just in a, you know, a sort of sadder space, you know, where it's as thick in terms of something traumatic like this, but even just like, you know, and I don't know what you, in your lifetime, you've been told about your dad. I don't know what, I know that your dad left.
Sure.
But I don't know what you know about him to where, if there's ever a moment where your mom or Rosemary, or anybody in your family ever's like,
I'm pretty familiar with him.
That's like Daniel's dad.
I've seen him, I don't know, maybe 30 times in my life.
Okay.
Over a course, if you added all the days up, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 months.
Do you have some kind of likeness? Has anyone ever pointed out any sort of a likeness? And I don't mean physical. I mean like...
The show?
I don't mean like the show physical. Apple TV Plus. I'm just constantly plugging. But you know what I mean? Like if someone goes, oh, that's... Your dad used to say it like that. But like something you never heard, but you just do it because there's something genetically in you?
Yeah. No, not really. Yeah. Not so much. Yeah. I get a lot of my grandpa...
Yeah, sure.
And then, because this is what I think. I wouldn't be, this is going to sound bold, but it isn't. I wouldn't be surprised if your genes, your parents, your family, the where you get the makeup of who you are as a person, and I mean literally like your, what am I trying to say?
What you are, organically what you're made
of.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that determines the type of person you are. Okay. But I think the people who raise you or who you're with determines a lot of how you behave.
Yeah.
So
there is a little bit of nature and a little bit of
nurture.
Like
there's people as funny as we are, but the way they were raised, their behavior makes them more reserved or more quiet. The funny gene...
Still exists.
But their behavior. Now, look, have you reminded people that we're not professionals?
Yeah.
Okay. There's somebody who's going to go. Who's going to go? Here, a-hole, read this dissertation on why you're wrong, and I'll go. Yeah, you're right. And then somebody else will go. Actually, Daniel's right. That's how it works. Right?
I know.
So, but I think that a lot. So, you know, I know that there is a lot of who I am. That, I mean. Newsflash. A lot of who I am due to Diane and Rosemary.
Of course.
A lot of Rosemary.
Yeah.
But then I also think a lot of Bob Van Kirk, too.
Right.
So I bet you there's stuff that inherently I have from the person who was supposed to be my father.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if I don't behave like him.
Or identify it.
Yeah.
I don't really care. Yeah.
That's the weird thing, too.
Yeah.
And I were just talking about this the other day. It's really hard to, I don't really care that much about it, but which is funny because of what I'm about to say. It's really hard to show that you don't care.
Right. Yeah. You usually have to say that you don't.
Right. And then people get to decide if they believe you or not.
They get,
like, kind of like Hooters, right?
Right.
It's kind of like, sure. I bet.
I can't believe that's come up as often
I'm
as
sorry.
It has.
But, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But I say that because with the admittance of, like, here are all the things I do care about.
Yeah.
So when Eva says here, do apples fall far from the tree and how far?
I think
I don't know.
Well, here I think it's based in that nature versus nurture. For instance, in a world where your dad is a different person and doesn't leave, you might grow up going, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit like Rosemary. I don't know. I was with my dad a lot and I'm a lot like him. You know what
behavior.
I mean? It's exactly. And I think it's like, sure, the genes are there. You've got Rosemary's genes, you've got your dad's genes, your mom, like you have all of that DNA that's been, you know, carried down over time that is running in your system, right, that is making up who you are. But then you also have your own independent mind that, you know, might see little things your dad does that you like or dislike. And people mm-hmm. might be like, you know, it's so funny, your dad always does this, but you don't do it. And like, you might not even be consciously aware of like, oh yeah, you don't because you don't like it, because you don't think about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, even if but like-
have you been told you're like your mom?
No, it's kind of, I would say yes and no. Like, it's a place where when someone does, if that's ever been said to me, it's already been built into my like sort of emotional defense that I feel like someone's just being like, hey, and I think this would be a nice thing to hear. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
As opposed to being a fact. But then I also have that other half of me that goes, yeah, but I want it to be a fact. And why do I have to be such a pessimist about someone trying to tell me a thing that maybe is the truth?
True.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think because someone telling me something that's similar to mom lives in that sort of in-between space, it's hard to feel one way or another about it because I've already discounted it as you're trying to make me feel good, and I've also already discounted it as like, oh, or accepted it as like, oh, maybe it's the truth. And those two things hit each other head on and nothing changes.
I think.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you could co-sign this or not for your own perspective. I think I'm more informed of who I am. Let me say it this way. Who I am is less about not having that guy as a dad.
Yeah.
And more about a person who didn't have a dad.
Yes.
That's more informs the way I operate in the world.
Yes.
And how I look for things and evaluate things.
Yes.
So that person's presence or lack thereof, them specifically, doesn't have a lot to do with who I am. But being who I was in the situation I was without a person in that role does inform a lot of who I am.
I also,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I also go out in this space of saying, in the world of like nurturing, in this example here, we don't know what this dad lived through. Do you know what I mean? We don't know. I think sometimes people, you read a letter like this, and as soon as you hear that someone had, in this case, the dad committed suicide, you're like, you're broken by that. It's such a negative, heartbreaking thing. And you realize that Ava was 9 at the time. And you just start to take all of that in. And you, when it's like, oh, my dad was suffering from these things, and he'd be on the couch, glassy-eyed, and then mm-hmm. or he'd be playing with us, and it was this bipolar. And I know that the main thing we're talking about is someone passes away and they have this halo over their head. But there's also this world where I think we're smart enough to now to go, I don't know the backstory of what brings someone to that, like what takes someone into being, was there events in your life? Is it just something mental that you can't control? In trying to answer Ava's full spectrum of the question here,
you
know, is that guy sitting on the couch because he's lived through something incredibly dark, or he also is asking questions and he, you know, this is a different time in our world and maybe in a different place where the instinct isn't I should go talk to somebody or I should say something. I think not knowing that the conditions that led to the dad being in this situation, we can't answer the question of specifically, is this something that maybe does live inside Eva or not? I'm just going to say Eva. I keep saying both names.
Sure.
But, you know, we don't know if something, like, lives inside of that or not. But what I do know is that Daniel Van Kirk, you live in a place where, oh, I was raised by Rosemary. Let's just say Rosemary specifically.
Yeah.
I have so much influence of Rosemary. But nurture is such a big thing that the Daniel Van Kirk that went out into the world that comes back, it's something hasn't changed at its core, but Daniel Van Kirk brings something different to the table with Rosemary based on his experiences around other people that have nothing to do with Rosemary that right. opened your eyes to bringing something back to that relationship mm-hmm. That then changes that relationship mm-hmm. in hopefully a positive way. In your sure. case, I think that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. I just wonder also, like, every action has a equal and opposite reaction. Mm-hmm. So maybe we're so raw at our youth, like everything is, but there's not a lot of gray yet, right?
Yeah.
And so when you're like, my dad was mean, now my dad wants to go to an amusement park, and you just see these things flatly as a child, like, yeah. that's wild.
Right.
And then my dad kills himself. I wonder if, like, I don't want to give that turmoil any credit, so I hope that isn't how it's coming across, Diva. But I wonder if your cognitive feels like the wrong word, just your awareness of what's happening here and why that's unhealthy kind of is allowing you to really be on top of your mental health. And like your reaction to that is yes. like, well, I'm never going to let that darkness grow in me. And if it does grow in me, because we can't always control or
recognize
our emotions, we recognize it
yeah, yeah.
and we deal with it.
Yeah.
And so you are not maybe like your father, but you are benefiting. Sadly, you have to. You don't have a choice, but thankfully, you're benefiting from that experience.
Yes.
Because it showed you, don't do this.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Don't yes. let yourself go down this road.
Yeah.
And you're I'm not making, saying, lucky you had a father
it's
who
adaptation.
Was,
it's adaptation. Yeah. It's just simple adaptation.
I don't
adaptation.
Think that at all. I don't want that to come across.
Of
that
course. I'm
like, good thing your dad was
No, I don't think so at all. I think it's adaptation. And you look at it and you go, because you are made aware of this mental illness, this issue that your dad had, you're in a different position of how you handle it. So I would say in the world of saying, am I similar to my dad? It's like, well, I don't know. If you started to feel like you were heading down a darker road and you decided to go talk to someone, and I can't sit here and say that the dad definitely did or didn't do that, mm-hmm. but my assumption is that, you know, you live in a different position of going, well, I know that that happened. And so because that can happen, I can do this. For instance, you know, my dad passed away of a heart attack. My mother had a heart attack when she was dealing with cancer in the hospital. My grandfather died of a heart attack. I benefit from that information
Same.
By going, you know what? I'm going to make sure that I fucking hit up that cardiologist often. When someone says every 6 months, once a year, whatever it is,
right.
I will be there because I have the benefit of this information. My aunt, who Connie, who survived, she had a heart attack. There's enough evidence there to go, hey, there's evidence in the Scoville gene that maybe the heart's not doing the best.
Right.
And so I benefit from having that information, which is what you're saying. It's not a benefit in a way where you want it, you right. know, but you adapt and you go, well, this thing happened that I can't change. But what I can change is how I maybe handle
what can I take from
my
that?
Experience right. if this were to happen to me, or how can I prevent this from happening to me?
Right.
You know, it's like Dana Van Kirk, you know, never wore a seatbelt, died in a car accident. The next person down the line goes, I think we should wear seatbelts.
Right.
Well, maybe you don't die in a car accident.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
not
right.
It's not a positive right. benefiting. Right. I mean, it is. It is and it isn't.
It is and
yeah,
it isn't.
It's not, I'm glad he's dead because now right. I won't die in one. It's
right.
like, no, but I'll tell you what, he died in vain if you don't. I think that's what people mean when they say they died in vain. It's like, yeah, it's not that you intentionally wanted to and die in a car accident because you didn't wear a seatbelt.
I don't.
But if the next person died, oh, yeah, then Daniel's kid did the same thing. You go, ah, I feel like that was a miss. Like that could have been.
Opportunity
that could have
take something from
yeah,
that.
There, yes, there, yeah. there could that could have been prevented.
Right. Before we go out of this, though, are there anything you fear your child inherits from you?
You know what? I feel emotional distress. I think about this all the time. What kind of anxiety and stress am I putting into my child? I think a lot of parents deal with that all the time because it is real stuff that you talk about, things you worry about. Kids read everything. They read your tone. They read. It's their survival. It's how they, as the human species,
yeah.
has survived.
Adapting.
It's,
yeah.
It's why we're here as a species at all, because of this intuition at a very young age. And so I just worry. I worry that there's more anxiety and stress than she needs because you don't know the long-term effects of that. And you also don't know, you know, it's why your child seeing you apologize. It's why your child seeing you sort of...
You know what I think is big?
Command... Oh, you see, your child seeing you be respectful.
Yeah.
Your child seeing you care.
What about letting your
kids
see you take ownership of a situation?
Exactly. That goes so far. Accountability. Saying, like, I messed up.
I think it was on here. You were in the car and Elliot said to you, this is not that big of a deal.
Yeah. That was a very big moment for us. But that's also another moment
where...
And
you're like, yeah, it's... I am really upset.
Yeah.
And maybe it isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah. I will say, you know, in closing up, I will say this, because that actually reminds me of it. Flying off the handle the way I did in that moment with Elliot in the car was so reminiscent of how my dad would respond. Uh-huh. And I think maybe I said it on here. I know I said it potentially when I was on stage with Judd, where that first came out as like a thing I talked about. But in responding to her the way that my dad did, which I don't think is the right way,
sure,
made me feel closer to my dad. It made me feel a presence. Like, this coming out of me is there because of him. Sure. And if I keep pressing this gas, I feel like he's here. And the harm of it is that this is horrible for her. Yeah. And she doesn't know that.
Right.
And so there was a moment where, you know, I'm now crying in the front seat. We're not really talking. I know that she was crying. And my brain was like, tell her right now what's happening. Don't do what you always do. Just right now say where that came from. And I did. I just said, you know, this isn't you.
You told her?
This isn't on you. Yeah, I was like, this isn't on you. I was like, I'm thinking about my dad. This is my dad. I was like, I don't want to be like this. You know, and I didn't want to excuse what she did. It was a misbehavior, and you do have to discipline it.
Right.
But I feel like in my house, my dad would really, you know, he'd go to a 10 too fast.
Yeah.
And I'm
just... You hit a one-pound nail with a 10-pound hammer.
Yeah. And I'm so lucky to have Jordan, who is the opposite of that, and to try to learn from it. But the constant struggle for me, and I am getting so much better at it with awareness. I mean, I'm talking about it right now.
Yeah.
But the getting better at it is a constant fight with my ego and trying to remind myself, this isn't creating what image of you think it is, or being like, yeah, I said to do this, and putting that away and going, there's going to be a day when she's 24, mm-hmm. and you're just going to go, when you're 24, are we friends, or am I a fucking asshole that was hard to talk to, so you don't want to talk to me now?
Right.
And I think that it's that sort of, in some sort of having a trying to take something from this letter that I can put in my own experience and say, hey, maybe think about this. But to say that, because you do say parent and child alikeness, I would say in terms of knowing how to handle a distressful situation, that's not going to be something that's in the genes. It's going to be something that my daughter sees me do and then decides that's how that's done and decides I like that. Oh, my dad was very respectful. My dad would hold the door. He'd get out of the way. He would do whatever. He'd give you his jacket and say, you can just have it. Are you cold? Just take that jacket.
Right.
That's not an easy person to be. I think because of my dad's life circumstances, he became someone who was very much like, yeah, just take this, dude. It doesn't mean he doesn't have shitty parts about him, but that's who he was.
Right.
But to be that kind of person, I saw that. I know my siblings saw that. So the stuff that we don't like that he did, you do go, well, I can't discount these other things because that is how people should be. And mm-hmm. so then you behave that way. So mm-hmm. you try to pass that on. So in a way, I think DNA, yeah, nature and nurture. I think it's both. I think at a certain point, it's a decision that you make. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's...
Like someone going, well, I'm an alcoholic because my dad was an alcoholic. Yes. And there's a decision you make to go, what am I going to try to do about it?
Right.
That isn't DNA related. To me, that's you.
It's behavior.
making a choice going, I'm going to try to, you know, go through the program.
And maybe it's always a struggle. Maybe you fight your whole life to not drink and you do great for a few years and you do back. But, you know, I don't know when this will come up, but we recently recorded with Andy Richter and it's about like, am I 5% better
Yes, than, exactly.
Than
yeah, yeah.
Think, because then I did good.
Right.
Yeah, because yeah. I didn't retreat all the way into it.
Right.
So.
Great letter, Eva. I hope I'm saying that right.
I think you are.
Thank you so much for opening up and sharing such a personal experience with us. It goes so much further with our entire, you know, family of listeners than I think a lot of people realize, especially when it's stuff like this. So thank you so much. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Van Kirk.
And Daniel Scoville.
Pen Pals is produced by Lissa Rubin and engineered and mixed by Chad Bouchard. Our artwork was created by Jeffrey Tice, and our theme music is by Patrick Keenan of The Winter Sounds. Extra thank you to Aristotle Acevedo for his help on this episode.
You can follow Pen Pals on Twitter and Instagram at the Pen Pals Pod. You can see all of that content thanks to Caitlin Bordini, who runs our social media.
Head to youtube.com/Daniel Van Kirk Comedy to watch these episodes absolutely free, and subscribe to patreon.com/penpals for only $5. You can listen to a follow-up letter every week, and you'll be the first to hear all upcoming Pen Pals news.
But the easiest way to support the show is to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, and tell everyone you know about your two favorite cackling idiots. Hashtag grow the show.
If it wasn't so long ago.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.